This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Good to be with you. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. How are we doing this morning, my friend?
I'm good. I'll tell you what. You know, I was looking forward to the long weekend with the Thursday night game and everything.
Yeah.
It turned out to be not so hot. It probably wasn't until yesterday that I even felt about thinking about the Texans. I really wish if they were going to play the game that they did versus the Jets, I wish it had been on a Sunday so that by Tuesday or Wednesday we'd be thinking about the Lions more so, the Texans disappointing performance, which is what they do in the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
They apparently go up and they let the Jets expose everything that's wrong with them and everything that you feel bad about with the Texans. The Jets in the Meadowlands are the place to do it.
Okay. So you spent at least the initial part of your, we'll call it a long weekend because we didn't have any football. You were still scrubbing the taste out of your mouth from the Jets game still on Friday and Saturday this week.
Yeah, I didn't even want to think about it. On Friday, I watched the game over again, and then I said, I gotta take a break.
Okay.
I got to take a break from all of this. And then I started in on Saturday and just kind of watched some stuff defensively, started making some excuses for him. You know?
Okay, so
I'm back on the road to recovery.
So you were still staying somewhat immersed in the Texans world over the weekend a little bit.
Because I was
at the Golden Nugget, my friend, and I gotta tell you, I didn't think about them one time while I was there. It was a beautiful, glorious thing. The only time I really thought about them were times when I opened up my phone and I looked down, and what did I see? A very animated video of my co-host Seth Payne screaming at a camera, and I'm like,
yeah,
I'm gonna put my phone back down. I was enjoying this world where I was gambling irresponsibly, watching games in a sportsbook with my wife, ordering chicken wings, apparently eating sushi at 2 in the morning that I don't recall at all the night that we got there. I woke up Saturday morning and Amy's like, that was a good trip we made down to Lily's, back down to the lobby to go eat sushi. And I'm like, we did what? And she said, we went down and ate sushi at 2 in the morning. And I said, okay, well, what are those two cupcakes doing on the table? Literally, apparently I bought two cupcakes at the chocolate store on the way back up to the room.
That's what they say goes best with sushi.
Well, 2 in the morning,
sushi.
Apparently, the intent was to chase all the sushi we just ate with two cupcakes when I got back to the room. That never got eaten.
Worst things you could wake up finding out you did, next day. It's better that than you got arrested or married or something.
I had a great time, man, just unplugging. Yeah. And I realized once again how great it was to just sit and watch football wall-to-wall on a Saturday and a Sunday. Not that I love my Texans game day stuff. I love it. It's one of the favorite things that I do. But every now and then, once every 9 weeks or so, it is good to be able to sit. It's good to be able to sit down and watch all the other NFL games. However, it is very depressing seeing how easy it seems to be for even the bad teams to protect their quarterbacks for more than 2.5 seconds. That part's a little depressing.
It was also kind of impressive how easily the Lions dispatched the Green Bay Packers, team that the Texans had great trouble with. But Detroit, a dome team, going and playing in a freezing monsoon. Yeah. It was like a monsoon, but worse, because it was probably like 50, low 50s, high 40s there in Green Bay, and windy, and it didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
The Lions who, by the way, the Texans play on Sunday, looks to be the proverbial firing on all cylinders. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a team. Yeah, that's and I guess that's a good place to start. Like when this it is Lions week. Lions coming to town for Sunday Night Football. And at the beginning of the year, my prediction for this week was that, hey, this will be the game where the experts are saying these are the two dark horse, darling, potential Super Bowl teams. Mm-hmm. This is a preview of the matchup that we could see in the Super Bowl where America is backing both teams, you know, because neither team has even been to a Super Bowl, let alone won a Super Bowl. This will be, I said, Seth, that at the beginning of the year, that the words preview of a Super Bowl would be uttered many, many times over the course of the week leading to this game. And I feel now Detroit has held up their end of the bargain. I don't know that the Texans put an effort out there on Thursday that are going to have the talking heads on the various shows saying that we could see this again in New Orleans in February.
Right. Yeah, this is...
Let's fix some things
off. It's definitely a moment of reckoning here, as the Texans have three nationally televised primetime games in a row.
Yeah.
And in their first effort at it didn't go so hot. But it was Thursday Night Football, which, it's not the same cachet as getting your butts beat on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football.
It's the Jets, man. Who's the Jets?
Yes, right, yeah. But, Sean, I think I trust it for the most part.
I know you got to a happier place by Saturday or Sunday, but I'm not here for the excuses.
Some of the excuses I was making for the Texans is I tried just for my own sanity. Not because I've got an agenda or anything like that. I just wanted to feel and believe, like, okay, the Texans allowed three straight touchdown drives in the second half. There were some odd occurrences there that went along with it. But I think the biggest thing, if I were really trying to just not think about the offense at all, was that the two Garrett Wilson touchdowns were both, like for one, the shin catch. The shin catch was a 5% catch probability.
I was going to say, these were two catches that would have Callis and Blum both going, well, that was a 5-star catch, Blummer.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Because even Sam Warren from the Chronicle did a nice breakdown of just how the game was different with Will Anderson in the game and without him. Mm-hmm. So I went back and I broke down a few of those videos. And it is true, like Will Anderson made a difference. But even on one of those plays where... The biggest difference when Will Anderson was in the game is that he commands an extra blocker.
Yeah.
So the Jets would keep a tight end in to block, which makes it a lot harder to find open guy. You've only got three guys out on routes. So even if the blitz didn't come home, it was still much harder for Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
When Will Anderson's not in there, they could send that tight end out on routes, and it got a lot easier for Aaron Rodgers to just pick and choose. And he dialed up Jalen Petrie in man coverage a couple times. But on that first Garrett Wilson touchdown that he caught on Jalen Petrie, I mean, it was the blitz came home. It was a tough throw for Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't perfect. And yet, I think if you had an actual cornerback covering Devontae Adams on that instead of Jalen Petrie,
hold on. Are you talking about Devontae? You said Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson.
I just want to make sure I know which touchdown
you're talking about. The one over it was Garrett Wilson.
The crosser over the middle.
Yeah, the crosser over the middle. Then, like, this is what we talked about. What I was worried about all training camp was Jalen Petrie is not a cornerback. And whenever we watched him line up in the slot in man coverage versus Tank Dell or Stephon Diggs or anybody else during training camp, it didn't look good. It didn't look good at all. And if you're put in a position where, you know, he's gonna be charged with that, you can't rely on it. It's not Jalen Petrie's fault. It's a team construction issue.
Yeah.
And honestly, if they went all through training camp and thought, yeah, we're cool with this, I'd be shocked. I'd honestly be shocked because we were there. We saw him. Jalen Petrie could not cover those guys in the slot. Yeah. So you think he's gonna do it against Garrett Wilson or Devontae Adams?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this weekend. Like, the two That Jalen Petrie covering out of the slot and the interior of the offensive line were two things that you were hammering hard during the month of August that I feel like, at least relative to me, I wasn't as worried about those things because I think I was a little more caught up in the glitz of everything they did in the offseason,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you were still, you're like, hey, guys, these are still two big problems. And the interior of the offensive line has come back to roost in the worst way because it's put C.J. Stroud in danger, and B, has had him at least the last couple games looking somewhat jittery. Am I worried this is a long-term thing with C.J. Stroud? Not yet, but I don't like the way it's looked.
I think if you watch that game and you didn't know anything about C.J. Stroud at all, you'd say, well, it looks like a young quarterback who's not quite sure of himself.
Yeah.
You know, like there's times where, man, just I don't know why he didn't throw that. Yeah. I don't know why he didn't. And part of it, you know, I sent you the one boot where C.J. ended up running, and he had both John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson coming across the field. And I felt like with where those guys were, if it were Nico Collins and Tank Dell, I think the ball would have come out of CJ's hand.
Well, they also probably would have had another yard or two on the defender.
Yeah. But I still, though, I do think there's a matter of trust there.
No doubt.
He's got that. He's very, very confident just letting it fly with those guys.
If there weren't a yard or two extra of separation, he still would have thrown it like he does to Nico
throws.
On 3rd and 11 against the Colts in week
yeah.
one.
Yeah. So in the last couple of weeks, there have been more inaccurate throws that you wouldn't typically see.
Yeah.
So it just feels like, yeah, the pressure is getting to him.
Yeah.
Like it's starting to mess with his internal clock.
Well, they'll have no choice but to move on from Kenyon Green because the news came down, I think, on Friday. Kenyon Green done for the season with the shoulder injury he sustained when C.J. Stroud landed on the shoulder in a big schmoz after a play on Thursday night. Did you see Kenyon Green's dad on Twitter over the weekend respond?
Only because you sent it to me.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this.
I don't follow Henry Green on Twitter. This just popped up on my timeline. But there was a person on Twitter, CMallory7, who I recognize that Twitter ID. I believe a listener. Is it possible for our O-line coach to go out with injury as well? Because that guy is worthless, all caps. Henry Green replies, facts. Henry Green, not a Chris Strausser fan, I guess.
It's C.J. Stroud had a comment in the post game that I really didn't catch the first time around.
Yeah,
or I didn't catch the full significance of it. I kind of brushed it off.
Do you want to play it here? Or do you want to do it? We've got more than 45 seconds.
Let's play it. Let's play it when we come back.
Okay.
There might be. I worry that there's some dissension from within.
Okay. As bad as it's been the last month or so in the offensive line, I'm at the stage now where I'm waiting for some dissension. I'd actually like a little dissension
with
this.
Yeah, give me dissension.
That's true.
Make a move, something. Trade for somebody. Swap out an O-line coach or something. Well, I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think we'll get to that at 7 o'clock. Like, we've got some big questions coming out of this long weekend with the Texans that we've got to get to, both medical and trade deadline coming up about 36 hours away. So we'll get to all that here on a Reaction Monday. We're still reacting to Thursday night, reacting to a weekend of NFL football as well. Did C.J. hand a dissent from within on his postgame press conference on Thursday night? We'll get to that. And it's a big day for the Astros as well. We'll explain why to you coming up next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.